Okay, so I am going to do historical, Jesus, hysterical literature, with my toy, and I'm going to try a 20-minute pattern, and I am going to read from Jane Eyre because it is one of my favorite books. But it's been a while since I read it, so we'll see how this goes. Okay, well. Sedosis, hopefully. Oh my god. You can hear my voice over my toy. Okay, so, this is gonna be much harder than I thought. Alright, so these are excerpts that I just found online because I didn't want to just read a whole chapter. I thought some smaller portions would be better. Okay. So here's the opening from chapter 17. Oh, okay. Well, here, I'll read the Charlotte Bronte description first. Charlotte Bronte was an English novelist and poet. Oh, fuck. As well as the eldest of three literary Bronte sisters. Jane Eyre was her most famous novel and a classic English literature. In the novel, a plain governess named Jane falls in love with her employer, Mr. Edward Rochester. From chapter 17. At this point in chapter 17, Mr. Rochester has been gone from the house for a week, and it is rumored that he may not be back for over a year. However, Jane hears from the housekeeper, Miss Fairfax, that he will return in 3 days' time. He finally arrives with a party of elegant aristocratic guests, including Blanche Ingram, a snobbish woman who is rumored Mr. Rochester will marry. During the party, Jane watches them from a window seat. And where is Mr. Rochester? He comes in last. I'm not looking at the arch, yet I see him enter. I try to concentrate my attention on those netting needles, on the meshes of the purse I am forming. I wish to think only of the work I have in my hands, to see only the silver beads and silk threads that lie in my lap. Whereas, I distinctly behold his figure, and I inevitably recall the moment when I saw it last. Just after I had rendered him what he deemed an essential service, and he, holding my hand and looking down on my face, surveyed me with eyes that revealed a heart full and eager to overflow, in whose emotions I had a part. How near had I approached him at that moment? What had occurred since, calculated to change his and my relative positions? Yet now, how distant, how far estranged we were. So far estranged that I did not expect him to come and speak to me. I did not wonder when, without looking at me, he took a seat at the other side of the room and began conversing with some of the ladies. Oh, God. No sooner did I see that his attention was riveted on them, and that I might gaze without being observed, than my eyes were drawn involuntarily to his face. I could not keep their lids under control. They would rise, and the iris would fix on him. I looked, and had an acute pleasure in looking. A precious yet poignant. Poignant? Oh my gosh. Oh god, okay. A precious yet poignant pleasure. Pure gold with a steely point of agony. A pleasure like what the thirst perishing man might feel who knows the well to which he has crept and poisoned. Yet stoops and drinks divine draughts. Nevertheless, drops. Oh god. Divine droughts. Nevertheless. Okay. Most true is that beauty is in the eye of the gazer. My master's colorless olive square. Wait, oh my gosh, okay. My master's colorless olive face square. Massive brow, broad and jetty eyebrows, deep eyes, strong features, firm mouth, firm grim mouth, all energy, decision, will, were not beautiful, according to rule, but they were more than beautiful to me. They were full of an interest, an influence that quite mastered me, that took my feelings from my own power and fettered them in his. I had not intended to love him. Throat sounds okay. I had not intended to love him. The reader knows I had wrought hard to extirpate from my soul the germs of love there detected. And now, at the first renewed view of him, they spontaneously arrived, green and strong. Oh god. Fuck. He made me love him without looking at me. Oh. From chapter 22. Mr. Rochester had just returned from a trip to purchase a new carriage. Likewise, Jane has just returned from seeing her aunt. He and Jane see each other at the still and have the following exchange. At the stile. I can't read right now. Oh my god. He did not leave the stile, and I hardly liked it. Oh my god. And I hardly liked to go by. I inquired soon if he had not been to London. Yes, I suppose you found that out by second sight. Mrs. Fairfax told me in a letter. Oh god. And did she inform you what I went to do? Oh, yes, sir. Oh, fuck. Everybody knew your errand. You must see the carriage, Jane, and tell me if you don't think it will suit Mrs. Rochester exactly, and whether she won't look like Queen Boadicea. Leaning back against those purple cushions, I wished Jane, I were a trifle better adapting to match with her externally. Tell me now, fairy as you are, can't you give me a charm or filter or something of that sort to make me a handsome man? And it would be past the power of magic, sir. And in thought I added, a loving eye is all the charm needed to such you are handsome enough. Oh, or rather, your sternness has a power beyond beauty. Mr. Rochester. Oh my god. Mr. Rochester had sometimes read my unspoken thoughts with an acumen. Oh, to me, incomprehensible. In the presence of instance, he took no notice of my abrupt vocal response, but he smiled at me with a certain smile. He had of his own, and which he used but on rare occasions. He seemed to think it too good for common purposes. It was the real sunshine of feeling. He shed it over me now. Oh, pass, Janet, he said, or said he, making room for me to cross the stile. Go up home and stay your weary little wandering feet at a friend's threshold. All I had to do now was obey him in silence. No need for me to colloquize, Jesus, further. I got over the stile without a word and meant to leave him calmly. An impulse held me fast and force turned me around. I said, or something in me said for me and in spite of me, thank you, Mr. Rochester, for your great kindness. I'm strangely glad to get back to you, to get back again to you, and wherever you are is my home, my only home. I walked on so fast that even he could hardly have overtaken me, had he tried. Little Adele was half wild with delight when she saw me. Mrs. Fairfax received me with her usual plain friendliness. Leah smiled, and even Sophie bid me bonsoir with glee. This was very pleasant. There is no happiness like that of being loved by your fellow creatures and the feeling that your presence is an addition to their comfort. Oof. From chapter 23. Shifting positions a little bit. So my legs are shaking too much. Sorry, hopefully that's not too loud. Oh my god. After 2 weeks of bliss, Jane stumbles. I don't know if you can hear me. Okay. Jane stumbles upon Rochester in the garden. He invites Jane to go on a walk with him. Rochester tells Jane of his intention to marry Blanche Ingram and tells Jane of recommended new position she could take in Ireland. Jane complains of the distance. They sit under a chestnut tree in the garden and have the following exchange. In about a month, I hope to be a bridegroom, continued Mr. Rochester. And in the interim, I shall myself look out for employment an asylum for you. Thank you, sir. I am sorry to give. Oh, no need to apologize. I consider that when a dependent does her duty as well as you have done yours, she has a sort of claim upon her employer for any little assistance he can conveniently render her. Indeed, I have already, through my future mother-in-law, heard of a place. Fuck, okay. Of a place I will suit. It is to undertake the education of 5 daughters of Mrs. Dionysus O'Gall of Bitternut Lodge, Connaught, Ireland. You'll like Ireland. There's such warm-hearted people there, they say. Is it a long way off, sir? No matter. A girl of your sense will not object to the voyage or the distance. Oh, my God. Not the voyage, but the distance. And then the sea is a barrier. From what, Jane? From England, and then... And from Thornfield, and... Oh, well. From you, sir. Oh my God, I just want to come. This pattern is very teasing. I said this almost involuntarily, and with as little sanction of free will, my tears gushed out. I did not cry so as to be heard, however, I avoided sobbing. The thought of Mrs. O'Gall and Bitternut Lodge struck cold to my heart. And colder to the thought of all the brine and foam destined, oh fuck, as it seemed to rush between me and the master, at whose side I now walked. Oh God, and the coldest remembrance of the wider ocean, wealth, caste, custom intervened between me and what I naturally and inevitably loved. It's a long way I again said. It is to be sure, and when you get to Bitternut Lodge, Connaught, Ireland, I shall never see you again, Jane. That's morally certain. Oh, fuck. I will never go over to Ireland, not having myself much of a fancy for the country. We have been good friends, Jane, have we not? Yes, sir. Oh, fuck. When friends are on the eve of separation, they like to spend a little time that remains, the little time that remains to them close to each other. Come, we'll talk over the voyage and parting quietly half an hour or so while the stars enter into their shining life in the heaven yonder. Here is the chestnut tree. Here is the bench as its old roots. Come. Oh, fuck. Yes. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Come on. Oh. Fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh. Okay, oh fuck, I don't know how to do this stupid toy. Jesus, okay. Mm. That's what I'm gonna do for the rest of this. Oh, fuck, okay. Come, we will sit here, there in peace tonight. Though we should never more be destined to sit there together. He seated me and himself. Oh, it's a long way to Ireland, Janet. And I'm sorry to send my little friend on such weary travels. But if I can't do better, how is it to be helped? Are you anything akin to me, do you think, Jane? I could risk no sort of answer. By this time, my heart was still. Because he said, I sometimes have a queer feeling with regard to you. Especially when you're near me as now. It is as if I had a string somewhere under my left rib, tightly and inextricably knotted, which is a similar string situated in the corresponding quarter of your little time frame. And if that boisterous channel and 200 miles of land or so become brought between us, I am afraid that cord of communion, oh, will be snapped. Oh, fuck. And then I have a nervous, oh, fuck, a nervous notion I should take to bleeding inwardly. As for you, you'd forget me. That I shouldn't. I never should, sir. You know, impossible to proceed. Oh, fuck. And Jane, do you hear that nightingale singing in the wood? Oh, fuck. Oh, God. Oh. Oh, fuck. Our story for today.